Hello, I'm Alexis Petridis, and welcome to Music Weekly from The Guardian. Coming up, Murdoch from Gorillaz tells us about their new album, Plastic Beach, and working with Snoop Dogg and Kano.
This is a proper soundtrack. Brass-laden, pimped-out, plastic funk.
She and Him, Tan Lines and Tiny Temper featuring Singles Club, and indie rockers White Rabbits pop in for a chat and play an acoustic track for us.
I guess maybe half the band are drummers, but we all kind of approach our parts as a rhythmic element that interlocks with everything else, you know.
That's all in Music Weekly. So, I am joined once more by my glamorous female assistant, the Debbie McGee to my Paul Daniel, that is Rosie Swash, back after a week off, in which you resolutely failed to learn to drive.
I didn't fail to learn to drive. I am still learning to drive.
Yeah.
I only had 4 lessons.
How's it going? Is it all right?
It's okay. I'm told that it's harder the older you get.
Yeah, I bet it is, actually, yeah. And making her second appearance for Music Weekly, it's The Observer's Miranda Sawyer. Hello, Miranda.
Hiya.
Can you drive?
I can drive. I'm from the suburbs, so it was kind of necessary to learn at a very young age, so I learnt at 17. But I would say to Rose, it's the best place to listen to music. In the car.
Yeah.
By miles.
Yeah, absolutely.
I need to stop stalling first, and then I'll be able to concentrate on it.
But then if you put certain tracks on, you just go faster and faster and faster and faster. It's great.
Okay, first up this week, it's Gorillaz. Rosie and Miranda will be helping me dissect their third studio album, Plastic Beach, very shortly. But first, we've got an interview with Murdoch, the bass player. There's a bit of a story behind this interview involving music editor Tim Jones and a stationery cupboard, but before Rosie tells us about this, let's have a listen to a track from the album. This is Glitter Freeze, which features the dulcet tones of Mark E. Smith.
It was the Glitter Freeze. Dr. Eric. Listen, you want a credit, I believe you.
All week we've had a Gorillaz takeover on the website, but what most people don't realise is that we had no choice in the matter. Tim Jones, editor of guardian.co.uk/music, went missing last Friday, shortly after the website firewall was attacked. The Gorillaz literally took over. Anyway, I made a few calls and managed to track Murdoch down in his hideaway at Plastic Beach. After lengthy negotiations, I got him to tell me where Tim was in return for an interview on this very Music Weekly podcast. Apparently they'd locked him in the stationery cupboard. So Tim, how was it?
Not good, Rosie. Wasn't good. I did not enjoy it. I could hear you and David slagging me off while I was locked in there, saying how much fun it was with Murdoch in charge instead of me. And then had to listen to you pumping out Paolo Nutini on the stereo all week. That's what you do, isn't it, when I'm not there?
Yes, that's exactly what we do. Well, anyway, I've got some good news for you. In order for me to find out where you were, I had to make a deal with Murdoch. He told me which stationery cupboard you were in, and in return, he'd get an interview on Music Weekly. And he wants you to look after it.
Great. Look forward to that.
Well, he's on line one now. Don't annoy him further, or you'll be back with the staples.
Okay, all right.
Gorillaz in the boss dog, planet of the apes.
Okay, Murdoch, I'm prepared to forgive you for all of this kidnapping malarkey.
Yeah.
But you've got to give me some good quotes in return. So let's talk about your new album, Plastic Beach. Snoop Dogg's on the title track. I didn't know dogs and monkeys like working together.
Snoop is unveiling the show here. He's the boss dog, you know, mine host, the introductory MC, if you will. As you land on the island, he welcomes you aboard, you know, to the world of the Plastic Beach. Yeah, that sort of thing. Yeah. Snoop's the granddaddy, isn't he? Doggy Star was for many people the record that really made the leap for them, yeah, introducing them to rap and G-Funk, along with De La Soul, who did the same kind of crossover with 3 Foot High and Rising. It's a kind of a lineage from Sly and the Family Stone. The idea of mixing genres, styles, peoples, continents, and bringing it all together to form something fresh and vibrant, something colourful. This is a proper soundtrack. Brass-laden, pimped-out plastic funk, mixing the organic with the plastic to form something new and shiny. And who better to open up this world than Snoop? Do you get me?
Push peace and keep it in motion.
Okay, You've worked with British rappers as well. On the track White Flag, you've got Kano and Bashy.
I spotted Kano when Damon worked with him on a track called London Town. I like to keep my ear to the ground. I can't really help it sometimes because quite frequently I wake up to find myself slumped there. On the ground. So I took them over to Plastic Beach and gave them a pen and paper, put the mic to their faces and said, "Do it! You know, say what you see." And they described the scene as if they just hit town, like a lonely cowboy or a whirlwind, a grimy wind blowing dancehall music over Arabic orchestras, just like that. I think, though, that Kano and Bashy nailed the optimism and potential of Plastic Beach just right in their little skit. Probably my favourite track on the album, apart from all the others. On a D-low, I don't know if it's green, but it's green though. On the other side of the fence,
bite to the ends. Look, no vents, no stress, no rent, no... Let's talk about Stylo, which we featured on Singles Club recently, as I'm sure you well know. This time you're working with the legendary Bobby Womack and Mos Def.
Stylo, yeah, this was the first single to come off this album, and in fact this one got stolen just weeks before the release. Some pirates shot up my island and nicked it, then leaked it online. I mean, you can't plug holes like that anymore in the brave new digital world. This is a new sound for Gorillaz, an electro-ish crack-funk sound with a little bit of politics and a lot of soul going down. With Stylo, I wanted the music to feel euphoric whilst still putting across how precarious our tightly packed situation is now, worldwide. I think you can hear that in Bobby Womack's chorus. He just explodes into the track. I mean, how good is it to get Bobby Womack on the record? This was his first recording that he's made in 15 to 20 years, so what an honour.
On Sweepstakes, which also features Mos Def, is that the Hypnotic Brass Ensemble providing the backing?
Why, yes, Sherlock, I believe it is. The Hypnotic Brass Brothers give us that full-on Chicago brass muscle, turning this track into a Quincy Jones version of hip-hop. MC'd superlatively by Sir Most Definitely. Yeah, Mos Def, an absolute gem. I first met him in the Box Club on the Lower East Side of New York City. I went over there to find him to try and get him on the record, you know. I like his rap work. And I saw him in Be Kind Rewind. So, yeah, I thought we needed that on the record, some NYC perspective. Why not? Some old story, y'all, each and all of y'all. Mathematics and dealers and players and me. They say that they win, it's okay, well, let's see.
A recently released Tim Jones with Murdoch from Gorillaz there. Plastic Beach, you both heard it, ladies? Miranda, do you like it?
I do, yeah. It's very long.
There's a lot in it. There's a lot of it. Yes.
Set aside an afternoon, listeners. But it's really good. It's very rewarding, I think.
What are your favourite of the collaborations?
Well, I do like the Marky Smith, especially that we didn't hear that, but he starts off, he goes, "Where's North from here?"
Where's North from here?
Which I really like. And I like there's a track with De La Soul on called Super Fast Jellyfish. I really like that. I like the kind of upbeat tracks, but then there are a few in the middle, it goes a bit kind of more melancholy, and you get a nice one called Broken with Damon singing, which almost seems like it's from a different LP, actually. I think it's more it seems more specifically about love, whereas everything else seems has a kind of vague kind of ecological theme, which sounds much worse.
Well, no, it's a very confused concept, I think, behind the album. I mean, I like the album a lot, but the concept behind it, as is so often the case with concept albums, I was none the bloody wiser by the time it finished than when it started.
It's a bit also like if somebody makes an ecological LP, you think it's going to be like Thom Yorke, don't you? Kind of, you know, wither my life, I go everywhere in a private jet, and yeah, I just really have to recycle. and it's not really like that. It's kind of more fun, isn't it? So there's a couple of tracks. There's one towards the end. Oh, it's actually Plastic Beach. It's got Mick Jones and Paul Simon on, not that you'd know. And he, as far as I can work out, Damon's singing very quietly, kind of Casio. He says Casio on a plastic beach, styrofoam, deep sea landfill. And it seems to me that he's kind of combining things that he enjoys about life, which is throwaway, like kind of melodica and Casios and squeaking toys and stuff you get from McDonald's free, with the idea that he loves nature as well, and kind of seems to be saying that they're almost the same thing.
Rosie, do you think the sort of notion the sort of conceit, if you like, behind Gorillaz, that it's made by four cartoon characters.
What?
I know. Do you think that's wearing a little bit thin, or do you think it kind of adds to the general sense of merriment?
He says wearily. Well, they've kind of done quite a clever thing here by making a concept album to deflect attention from the concept of the band. Sort of clever. One of the things about the collaboration which feeds into my issue with Gorillaz in general is that you need a bit of heart in a band. You need a bit of humanity, and it can occasionally miss that because you get this... It's done quite seamlessly from song to song, and what you get is, I think, the best of a lot of people, a lot of the collaborators on this album, but I don't think that it hangs together that well. I do think there's always going to be a problem when you have an album like this where you just get many, many different kinds of people, really wide range of collaborators offering their vocals to an album. I think it just misses a bit of humanity, and that's my issue. It has always been my issue with the Gorillaz.
That's an interesting... that's an interesting criticism, because that's a kind of criticism that was levelled at Blur a lot in the 90s, that there was something, a bit of heart lacking from the music, and it was somebody putting on a series of different masks. And I think, you know, with the benefit of hindsight, I was watching the No Distance Left to Run documentary at the weekend, and there is actually quite a lot of heart to Blur's music. You know, you do sort of watch that and think, God, I'm really sorry I preferred Oasis to you. And I'm so sorry. It's like... It was the 70s, and I decided that Shawadi Wadi were better than Roxy Music. I don't know what I was thinking. I take your point about the kind of Gorillaz.
But perhaps that's also because the heart of the project, musically, obviously, is Damon, and yet he doesn't want to be the heart of the project. So that's why it's hard to find the centre, because initially they had this kind of conceit of the four members of Gorillaz, but that for Jamie proved just as constricting as Blur eventually proved for Damon. So it's all right for Damon; he can swan around the world, you know, kind of making records and recording people in Israel, or you know, one point he went to a landfill in London just to get the seagulls and stuff. So he's doing all this, whereas poor Jamie's still stuck with the four cartoons of Gorillaz, and you can sense that he's getting a bit frustrated because alongside this LP, they've created this Plastic Beach World, which you can go on online, although you need very big broadband connection. I must say it spent quite a lot of time loading for me and kind of explore it that way. But it does seem a little bit all over the shop, that bit, I think, I have to say.
Well, they've got the Plastic Beach model somewhere in London. I don't know if it's going to be on public display at any point, but I interviewed Bashy today, the ever eloquent Bashy, who features on White Flag.
He sounds quite sarcastic the way he's...
No, I don't know. I don't know why you're picking that up. Yeah. And he said that you got an invitation from Murdoch to come to Plastic Beach, i.e. go and look at this plastic model and find inspiration by looking at it.
I've got to say, I totally appreciate...
Do you think we're putting people off?
No, I totally appreciate why they've done it. It's a great album. There's brilliant things on that. I actually prefer the tracks with just Damon on his own myself. I like that middle section very much.
Yeah.
I have to say, I find the concept wearing a little bit thin, but there's nothing whatsoever wrong with the music. And Damon Albarn is the preeminent musical genius, the only musical genius to emerge from the Britpop era, in my opinion. If you're thirsty for more on the Gorillaz, check their takeover of our website, guardian.co.uk/music. And Plastic Beach from Gorillaz is released on Monday. Time for Singles Club now, the place where we discuss the new releases which we rather like. Let's start with Rosie's Choice. I was looking for a home. For a minute I was lost. I looked that way. Like That was Real Life by the Tanlines, or Tanlines? Is there
I think
a definite article?
Just Tanlines.
That was Rosie's choice. That's what she's going to play in her tricked-out Vauxhall Nova with its booming sound system after she passed her driving test. Rosie, what do you like about that song?
I think if you were to describe this song, it would sound so unremarkable. You know, they're from Brooklyn already.
Yeah, right.
It brings together all the sort of influences and popular styles of music at the moment. It's got that synth, it's got the dubs, it's got tropical rhythms. The way the guy sings is so, you know, they're obviously casting their net quite internationally for their influences. But despite the fact that it seems like it ticks all the boxes in the wrong way, I really think it comes together beautifully. I think that synthy calypso sounding riff is just amazing. I think it works so well together. The only thing I don't like is the way he sings "Trouble Was I Was Alone." Waz. I don't like the way he says "Waz." I was alone.
I know. It sounds a bit cod reggae.
Yeah.
Cod reggae is as in he's not Jamaican.
Oh, cod.
Yeah.
So I think cod is in the band from Leeds.
Cod.
I found that interesting that you said about Brooklyn, because I thought I'd had enough of this kind of music. Mm. And then to a degree, on sufferance, I went to see Yeso in Brighton on Friday, thinking, oh, boring art rock Brooklyn. And they were absolutely amazing. They were stunning. That Yesair album. And I went back to the album, and it's fantastic. It's a really, really interesting, kind of well-done thing. And I think the good thing about this record and the good thing about the Yesair album is that they're both bands with an awareness of pop music. Mm. And when you get all those influences together with those Brooklyn bands and they haven't got an awareness of pop music, it's just
insufferable.
Oh, it's insufferable. Oh, God almighty. Who wants to listen to that? Art rock, dry wank music. but I thought that was good. I thought it had a really good tune. Did you think it had a good tune?
I thought it was all right.
No. not a patch
it
on
was cud. All right, yeah. I was waiting for the cud remix. I heard that there was a remix also on the kind of webpage I visited by Memory Tapes, and I preferred that, I had to say. I mean, I like the kind of optimism of it, that there's a kind of just general upbeat summery nature to it, which I liked, but it just didn't seem to go anywhere, and I hated the vocals, so I kind of thought it was a bit of a 6 out of 10.
Okay, that's fair enough. 6 out of 10 from Miranda there for Real Life by Tanlines, which can be found on the Settings EP out on Tuesday on True Panther Sounds. That's a good name for a record label. True Panther. What are you calling your record label? It's called True Panther. Now it's Miranda's turn.
Yeah. Yeah, we bring the stars out. We bring the women and the cars out. Let's have a toast, a celebration, get a glass out. And we can do this until we pass out.
Let it play, let it go away.
Yeah.
We won't come down until we hit the ground.
Yeah, pass out. Yeah, I'm in charge now. I'm a star and I brought my cars down. I live a very, very, very wild lifestyle.
Tomorrow's hits today here on the Music Weekly podcast. That was Pass Out by Tiny Temper, which at this very moment, as we speak, is at number one in the midweek chart.
And will be number one, there is no doubt.
No, apparently it's massively
outselling.
It's
a massive track.
Miranda, you brought that in.
I did, which, you know, I'm aware that I'm possibly a little old for this record, but I really like it. I just really love this record. And Tiny Temper is a kind of young man from Greenwich with obviously a lot of talent. We didn't hear much of his rap, but his rap is hilarious, I have to say.
Really?
Oh yeah, it's brilliant. It goes on. I like the fact that he complicates his rap quite a lot, and then in the middle he just goes, I got a very, very, very wild lifestyle. But there's a great line where he goes, I've been Southampton but I've never been to Scunthorpe. It's fantastic, and there's loads of rhythms going on this record which I really enjoy. It breaks down in the middle and kind of goes into a weird reggae bit. There's loads of several speeds going on at the same time, so it almost is a bit like, you know when you have those dreams and you feel like you're running really fast but everything's moving really slow? It does that, and I just really enjoy it. And the other thing I quite like about it was that Tiny has now been signed to Parlophone, and what they wanted to do, which is in the manner of major labels when they sign an artist they think is underground, is they want to release a kind of street single and then a mainstream single. And this was going to be the street single, so they kind of put it out and everybody just went completely mad for it. So they've released it as a mainstream single and it is zooming straight to number one in the manner of bonkers.
Who would have thought that British rap will be like the UK sound
rap.
Of the UK rap will be the sound of the noughties. But it is. I think what's interesting about this record is that, you know, there's lots to be said for the work of Tinchy Strider and Dizzy Rascal and all those other fellows.
Chipmunk.
But for the most part, they've achieved hits. Not bonkers, actually, but the most part they've achieved hits by really popping up their sound.
Yeah.
You know? And this isn't.
It's quite a tricky sound.
It's pop by default rather than by design, which I really, really liked.
Yeah. And it's kind of massive. That's what I like about it. It's
massive.
Quite a really big... If you drove with that one,
yeah.
You'd get respect.
I like the way all
you
the
would,
music
you
is
would get a lot of respect.
It's being sold to me on the basis of driving. Oh, okay.
But also, you drive quite fast.
Yeah, we're only trying to help you, Roland. Come on.
I agree with both of you. I agree with you, Alexis, that it made me think, well, thank God that this is the right step in the right direction from Chipmunk and Tinchy Strider. Mm. Like, you can totally understand why young MCs like them are doing what they're doing.
Yeah.
But I'm so pleased that something that's a little bit more challenging and isn't so easy to swallow is proving popular. And I agree, it's very massive. And the line that we just missed in that clip they played there was, Heidi and Audrina, eat your heart out, as in the girls from the hills, which is like the most unstreet reference ever.
He's got so many clothes, I keep them at my aunt's house.
Another one that I liked, it's not necessarily witty, but just at least, you know, got something slightly original about it, is I drive past the bus I used to run for. You know, he has definitely got some talent in that area. But my only issue with it is that I am a bit bored of hearing young male rappers talk about how much better their life, how much richer they are. Like, I totally understand the drive behind the people that make this kind of music to better their circumstance and to celebrate that when it comes. But it is a little bit boring to hear yet again a young man's, you know.
I think that's actually a recurrent problem with all those people. Weirdly, it's become a problem with Dizzy. Dizzy seemed to have an enormous amount to say on his first album. And the last album, it was like, you're really struggling. Once you've established that you're in full possession of a working penis and, you know, and you've got a lot of money and, you know, you've got loads of pairs of trainers, he didn't appear to have a lot to say. And I also found that problem a little bit with Tinchy Strider, you know. It's like...
I don't mind it quite so much just because it's a kind of a trope, I suppose. I just don't mind it if it's done with wit, which is why I like this record, because he's kind of talking about Southampton and Scunthorpe, and that's kind of funny. But yeah, I mean, if it's just banging on about how, you know, how fantastic it is to go to a nightclub and drink champagne and have all the ladies around you, I mean, that is unbelievable.
Exactly. That's my only issue, is it touches on that, but at least he does it with lyrical flair, and he's not just saying, you know, yeah, champers bubbly blah blah blah, you know. It's actually quite funny.
So thumbs up for Tiny Temper. That Pass Out is out now.
His real name's Patrick.
Patrick Temper.
It's Patrick Temper.
Patrick Temper. Pass Out by Patrick is out now. Finally, it's my singles club selection.
It's hard to be ignored. When I look at you, you look so bored. My baby, my darling, I've been taking a beating. Well, all right.
Well, all right.
It's okay.
That was The Sun by She and Him. I chose this because it really, really surprised me. I had ignored She and Him, which is a collaboration between the actress Zooey Deschanel, and the singer-songwriter M. Ward, for two reasons. One, because it's a sort of indie actress, sort of doe-eyed, making a record. And two, because, you know, M. Ward is actually a talented guy, but his music represents something that I cannot bear, which is that sort of brand of singer-songwriter Americana that's held up by boring people who read Uncut magazine as like the absolute apotheosis of brilliant taste, as though, you know what I mean? These tedious, sodding records that these people like. And I really dislike that kind of music intensely. I dislike it more than any other kind of music with the exception of anything by the Red Hot Chili Peppers. So I heard this on the radio in my car, actually. There you go.
Hey.
Stu McConey was playing it because I'm so street and down with the kids that I listen to Radio 2 when I'm pimp rolling through my hood. And I was like, this is a really amazing song. This is a great record. What is it? And then at the end of it, you said it's she and him. So I was obviously completely wrong. It seems to me to be a lovely piece of kind of, you know, it's not going to break any boundaries and mess up any heads, but it's just a really lovely piece of sort of sunshine pop, I thought.
Yeah, I liked it, actually. I think it's nice, and it's a bit like, you know, the bit in films where it's been raining, everybody's down in the dumps, and they open the windows and they suddenly feel fine. They feel a bit like a Building Society advert, and that's that moment. It also reminds me of, do you remember that band, The Mouldy Peaches?
Yeah.
It's got that kind of feel. I mean, it's a bit more tuneful, I have to say, kind of better produced. But there's a kind of, there was always a quite sweet sentiment behind their records. Yeah. And there's a sweet sentiment kind of going through this. The only thing I think about it is that it just is bound to be snapped up by a mobile phone advert, which is irritating.
Yeah.
But other than that, I think it's pretty good.
Yeah, excellent. I couldn't agree more.
I like her voice.
Yeah.
I think it has...
There's a butt coming, isn't there?
There is a butt.
We can feel that butt.
She's got, sure it's a can. Big butt.
She's
big,
got
shapely butt.
I like big butts, and I can't deny.
She's got a dolorous quality to her voice, which I really like. And I don't like M Ward individually, but I prefer him in She and Him. But it's just a little bit too twee for me. The lyrics, you know, the kind of "you're leaving me, but it's all right." That age old, you know, don't think twice, but it's all right. I always like that. The actual lyrics belie the sentiment of the song, but I just find it a bit annoying.
Okay.
A little tedious. Especially
really?
The blinky blinky piano.
Okay.
Sorry.
No, I can take it, don't worry.
You don't look like you take a swing at me.
No, I'm not. I wouldn't dream of taking a swing at you. The Sun is a track on Volume 2 by She and Him, which is out on March the 23rd. You can also download it at the moment from the Pitchfork website, I believe. If you do a little Google search on there, you'll find it from there. Let's have some of your feedback from last week's show. Errol Walls enjoyed the Big Dada feature, and he's been non-stop listening to Roots Maneuver since. Yes, I think a few of us were reminded just how good Roots Maneuver is last week. On the drums, Jose Mara... oh, these people with these funny foreign names. That's a joke, by the way, because I have a foreign name. I wasn't being racist. Jose Maria de Falla writes... It doesn't take a lot to become the coolest band in NYC. Well, I think it does, actually. Tell that to the Velvet Underground. Similarly, Monophonic, right? The drums are pretty bad. They must have a lot of good PR. Nice of you to play ball.
Because we're all in the PR's pocket.
We are,
did you
yeah,
not know
absolutely.
That?
There is a
we
mass
get paid
conspiracy.
A retainer.
Yeah. Don't tell anyone.
Stop it. There is a mass conspiracy.
Mostly based on Lily Allen.
Promoting Adele.
Yeah.
I think there's a wide conspiracy to promote Adele. We should point out that we were quoting others when we said they were New York City's coolest band. And I did say on the podcast that I didn't know who had said that, and I was just quoting them anyway. Because I'm naive. Joshua Dixon is more of a fan. He writes, definitely not a fan to write off yet, even if they were tipped by the NME. Rory MC, or Rory Mack, Rory Mook, one of the two. He also likes them. I adore the drums, so much so that I actually purchased the generally avoided NME for the first time in years. Thanks for all your comments on the blog, and don't forget, we've got a Facebook page too. Just search for Music Weekly on Facebook, and it's Music Weekly Pod, that's all one word, on Twitter. Moving on, Missouri indie rockers White Rabbits have recently released It's Frightening, which is their second album. I quite like them, so we thought it would be good to get them in the podcast. Rosie, you met up with them. Did you quite like them?
I did quite like them. In fact, yeah. I liked them more when I met them. Very nice young lads, very
were
polite.
They? Well brought up?
Yes, I excellent. Find American bands can be like that, well brought up and polite.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. And they talked a lot about hoping to capture the live sound on their records, so we thought if we got them to perform a live track here, they'd nail it with ease. I also had a bit of a chat with some of the band members, which we'll hear after. A track from the album, this is Percussion Gun.
It's been a while, dog, just beg, borrow, and steal all your time.
studio with three members of White Rabbits, which, if I calculate correctly, is exactly half of the band. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Well, who are the lucky... We're here with Alex, Gregory and Stephen, but who are the lucky guys who got to stay in bed today?
Jamie, Matt and Brian, the rhythm section.
You don't begrudge them?
No, I do.
So I'd read a description of you guys that said it's basically like a band of six drummers. That's confusing to me because right now we're presented with three guitarists and none of the rhythm section. What do you think? Do you think that is a description more of the overall sound?
Yeah, I don't think it's to be interpreted literally. I think it's probably more the way that we approach all of our instruments, I suppose. Although it's true, I guess maybe half the band are drummers, but we all kind of approach our parts as, you know, a rhythmic element that interlocks with everything else, you know. Creates a...
Quite a din.
Yeah, what do you want to call it?
Yeah. All right, so why don't you tell us which of your songs you're going to play for us?
This song is called Rudy Fails.
There's a way to make it out in time. They'll get the cash under the mattress. They're down in the streets, run for cover. And if your money ain't no good, that's fine. While everyone's duking it out and taking names, well, I'll just take a number. Cause No, I don't care at all. No, I don't care at all. No, not at all. Not at all. No, I don't care at all. Now, if it's any consolation, well, I never got mine. So while you're out taking aim and taking orders, they are armed to the teeth. No, relax, take a seat. Now we're all laughing our sleeves when it's over. Cause I know. I don't care at all. No, I don't care at all. No, not at all. Not at all. Yeah, you could be the living daylights right out of me. No, man, I don't care at all. I don't care at all.
See you running for a dear life. I feel so sorry, but
I don't care at all.
See you running for a dear life. I feel so sorry for you.
Well, I don't care at all.
Running for a dear life. I feel so sorry, but
I don't care at all.
Oh, that was White Rabbits there performing Rudy Fails. I think they're quite an interesting band, White Rabbits. I automatically like any band that sound like Adam and the Ants. That's point one. Yeah. You're totally onto a winner. I will say, because Adam and the Ants was the first band I ever got into as a kid.
Yeah.
And so I think there's something about them musically imprinted in my DNA. So if you have drums that go rum pa pum pa pum pa pum, I automatically like you. If you have two drummers, I automatically like you.
Yeah, it was quite right.
There are
pop rules.
There are pop
and
rules.
Those are rules.
Rules.
What about if they sound a bit like Cold War Kids as well?
I've never really heard the Cold War Kids, so I wouldn't know. I think it's interesting. The other thing we were talking about during that is how incredibly polished American bands sound when you ask them in to do, you know.
And I actually asked Rosie if they were faking it. I thought they'd just come in and like played a CD.
Get the auto-tune out.
Yeah. No? Miming away in front of it.
And what's your theory for them being?
Because you have to tour a lot more to make any headway in America, and you have to play live, and you have, you know, you can't get that kind of instant success. You can't get on the cover of Rolling Stone falling over and making a racket like the Horrors used to. You know what I mean? It just doesn't
But
work
there's also
way.
A thing, isn't there? There's a kind of history of that celebrates a kind of glorious amateur in the
British
UK.
Pop, yeah.
And generally in pop, especially in indie, that kind of idea, which comes out obviously out of the Sex Pistols. Mm. So there's something about the idea that if you practice very hard, you're a bit naff.
Yeah.
And people, so I don't know why that is. It kind of extends into everything. You're not really meant to go away and practice at all. You're just meant to be a natural genius. And the Americans go, no, hey, we graft.
We like the Dave Matthews Band, man.
We really like to rehearse. It's great. What's wrong with that?
No, they do. I mean, there is a sort of huge strain of music in America that isn't popular in Britain. There's always people like jam bands and people like Fish and stuff like that. I know. It's ghastly beyond belief. But I mean, they're light because they can really play. Americans really, really, really appreciate musicianship in a way that British audience prefer people with like makeup and a silly hat on, you know.
Does that explain John Mayer's success?
Yeah, absolutely. John Mayer is, I think, no, it's absolutely
actually
true.
A good guitarist.
John Mayer is like a sort of teeny bop version of a jam band. He's like some, what's that festival they have that sounds ghastly? Not Lollapalooza. Bonnaroo. And he's like a sort of teeny bop version of something from Bonnaroo. That's, you know, what it is, a teeny version of the Dave Matthews Band. Back, though, to White Rabbits.
Not like anything like that.
I can imagine White Rabbits.
But they can play.
But they can definitely play, which is, you know, I'd like to see certain of the hot.
Well, they combine
NME
the good
bands.
Things, don't they? So they can play, but they also have got the kind of odd noises, which you want, which I always want in a record. So when they were playing just then, you're kind of straining to hear that kind of. There's some few odd rhythms that start off at the beginning, and then they bring the guitar in at the very end. And those are the elements that I really enjoy in music, whether that's well played or not well played, to be honest. And they seem to combine the two elements really well.
And they were playing the guitars in quite a percussive way. I sort of snorted a bit derisively when he said, "We approach all our musicians, all our instruments like drums." I was like, "Oh, you hit them." And they do play very rhythmically. So thumbs up for the White Rabbits, huh? Yeah.
Those thumbs are aloft.
Those thumbs are... that is all for this week, unfortunately. Miranda, thanks for coming back in.
That's all right.
Rosie, thank you very much, as
You're
ever.
Very
I
welcome.
Hope you've learned to drive by next week, because I'm finding it thoroughly disappointing, your lack of application.
I'm sorry.
My thanks also to producer Pete, as ever. I'm Alexis Petridis, and as Mark Boland used to say, see you same time next week on the same Mark channel.